MoneyWeb now on The Money.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Today now with Keith McLachlan here, of course, CIO at Integral Asset Management. Keith, appreciate the early morning time. You run two small cap AMCs, actively managed certificates on the JSE, a local one, but also an offshore one. And I thought, let's chat the offshore. We're hearing lots of talk around rotation. Everyone is exiting tech. They're moving into the smaller caps, Russell 2000, the S&P 600, although I notice both have come back in the last week and this. Are you seeing this supposed rotation? Or is it, truthfully, such a giant market and perhaps almost too much offering there to really become visible?
Morning, Simon. So perhaps the best thing to do is to talk through a normal cycle and then let's talk through what's happening now. And the listeners can hear the contrast. So a normal cycle is the world in recession and it's deep and dark and horrible, and we start to see a light at the end of the tunnel, and the first thing that rallies in terms of the risk assets, the first thing that rallies are actually U.S. small cap, because the recovery tends to be in America and the world follows, and from that, the U.S. small caps are the most exposed. They rally hard. The recovery becomes real in terms of data. The large caps and developed markets rally. And then when the large caps get long tooth and the recovery is global, well, guys shift trickle further down into risk and emerging markets rally. But in terms of emerging markets, what happens is emerging market is already a risk asset. So global investors will buy the large caps in emerging markets. Then eventually, late in the rally, when emerging markets are expensive, they'll look a bit deeper down and you'll get a small cap rally in terms of emerging markets. So in other words, in a normal cycle, developed markets and particularly U.S. small caps rally first, and emerging market small caps rally last. They're actually a lagging asset, whereas American ones are a leading asset. What's happened in the world is a huge desynchronization. Economies are doing different things. The Fed's walking around this year muttering under its breath. You know, we have Canada and Australia and BOE in England cutting rates. Yet we have Japan hiking rates. We have China as the second largest and a very serious economy in the world, really just faffing around in the property sector, not partially stimulating, which is effectively like an interest rate cut, but not quite. So there's a lot of desynchronization. And at the same time, we've had AI and big tech capturing a huge amount of the capital and really rallying hard. And the moment you look at S&P 500 X big tech, it's like a very, very different picture. But what happened at the start of July was we had a brief honeymoon period, for lack of a better term, where non-farm payrolls came out. They were really good. It showed a strong economy, but the Fed starting to mutter a bit louder under its breath about cutting rates. They go, well, the economy is doing well, rates are dropping or potentially about to drop. And looking around, and big tech, I mean, trees never grow to the sky. So at some point, the valuations are just too high. And we had the Russell 2000 rally about 10% in a week or two, whereas the S&P was flat. So there was huge small cap outperformance in America. But the interesting thing to note is that is late in the cycle. If anything, the small caps in America in July traded like an emerging market, because we're late in the cycle. It's not a question of whether the economy is recovering. It's a question of how long this bull market carries on for. So it was a very strange move across July that, in fact, has almost largely given back. So if you have a look at the iShares Russell 2000, which is the ETF tracking the small cap market, on a one-month rolling basis, it's flat. Yesterday's movement flat, but at intra-month, there was a 10% movement. So it's been significant what's happened. S&P, on the other hand, is down 6%. NASDAQ's down even more. So the big tech is rolling over, and that's dragging the big cap indices over. In short, in the AMCs we run, I mean, we've actually had a wonderful year so far. I like to think as a stock picker that quality and good companies, irrespective of market cycles, get rewarded. But the nature of the beast is beta also plays a strong role. And small caps have been performing this year, albeit it's the big caps, particularly the AI, that has actually been carrying the market higher.
Yeah, and of course, as I mentioned in my intro, Supermicro Computer, they're also sometimes falling 20% in a day. But I liked your point about US Inc. I hadn't actually thought of that. And of course, small caps, I mean, you know, it might not necessarily be, you might be digging around in Europe as well. It's a large universe. But I'd never, you know, I kind of think of, I don't know, Levi Strauss, which is a global player. But truthfully, there are a lot of, you know, they might be big small caps by czar standards, but they are very much American focused. Much as we talk around our local small caps being SA Inc., there is a preponderance of US Inc. in that space. So, you know, keep an eye on what's happening there.
Definitely. I mean, like you work through the portfolio we put together in terms of, and just for the listeners, the global AMC's code is UUGSMC. And you can find that on JSE and trade into that on the JSE. And I'll give you an example of two different ones. Our biggest holding company is the Sandoz Group, which is spun out of Novartis and is the largest producer of biosimilars and generics in the world. It's basically a Aspen, but an Aspen on the global stage would be considered a small cap. Mm-hmm. Sandoz is bigger than that and cheaper than that. And in fact, as a global player, although it's a small cap and it's unbundling out of Novartis, it falls within the universe and it's wonderfully defensive. It's got great tailwinds. So that sits in there. And then the contrast, and that's a global defensive stock.
Yeah.
Contrast that with one of, so in the Russell 2000, one of the top five holdings is Sprouts Farmers Market. Now, it wasn't a number of years ago, but it's done really, really well. And we've been holding it the whole time in this portfolio. And it is it basically runs a set of a health and attribute-driven, call it a theater of food, farmer-style market retail shops in America. And it's the same size as arguably Spa in South Africa, but America is so big that makes it a small cap. And in fact, it can just grow in America, going into other states, building up density in terms of DCs and the like, and attracting further customers, and can carry on growing for many, many, many years. And it's done really, really great. But obviously, that is 100% tied into the American economy. So there's such a spectrum of stocks in this space that, yes, there is macro that drives them, but there is also very much asset-specific or company-specific things that one has to select.
Yeah, I take that point. Absolutely. Another word, theater of food. But it is, it's going to be macro. And of course, we just forget how big that American economy is. 300 people and a quarter of global GDP. Keith McLachlan, CIO, Integral Asset Management. Appreciate the early time this morning. And that's our question today, LinkedIn and Twitter. You're buying into cheaper U.S. small caps. Perhaps you think U.S. tech is over. Perhaps you've always had some small cap. Or maybe you stay with tech and you're convinced by that story. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.